Magazine. First, you need to be persistent. Children often need to try a new food 10 to 15 times before they'll accept it. However, most parents give up after 3 to 5 times. Keep serving your kid the vegetables. Next, involve your kids in cooking. Being your assistant will help kids get used to the smell, feel, and texture of foods. Also, your child will be more inclined to eat something they help prepare. And finally, don't bribe your kids. Promising ice cream as a reward for eating broccoli only fuels your child's suspicion that there's something wrong with the broccoli. Instead, serve everyone the same foods, family style, and let your kid dish out their own portions. Eventually, they'll choose to have some vegetables. John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute.
Thank you, Mr. Tesh. You can hear much more of John. In fact, his entire program coming up later this evening at 6 o'clock. That will follow the very lovely and talented Reed Magnum, who you just heard interview Matt Kenseth. He is substituting for Sweet Lou Turner starting at 2 o'clock later on this afternoon right here on your radio friend. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is former U.S. ambassador as well as presidential scholar, historian, and the author of 2016, Selecting the President, the Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make. Please welcome back to WRJN, Professor Emilio Iadice. Professor!
Hello, Glenn. How are you today?
I have no complaints, sir, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
Thank you, and I hope you and all of your listeners are well.
How have you been? It's been a minute.
Everything's fine, it's a very, very interesting time for all of us, especially with the Republican convention winding down and the campaign starting in just about a week.
Well, it has not been boring there in Cleveland, that's for sure. Last night, we saw something that we haven't seen at a presidential convention in a long time, and that was a raucous response and a negative response like that to a speaker. This used to be commonplace, and of course, presidential conventions have famously just become very slickly produced television programming and infomercials for the candidates, but not so much last night.
No, last night was a deviation that was very similar to what we had in 1964 when Goldwater ran. There were a lot of Republicans who didn't want to be associated with him because they felt that he would lose and that the party would lose big time. At that time, the two major Republican leaders that supported Goldwater were Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. So what we see now is perhaps what Ted Cruz did and what others may do is they feel that Donald Trump may not be victorious in November, and they want to keep their powder dry for the future.
Well, for the beautiful humans out there that did not hear my opening monologue and maybe did not catch last night's speech, here is how Ted Cruz ended his discussion in front of the assembled masses in Cleveland.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless the United States of America.
Now, folks, you have to realize that the vast majority of the delegates there in Cleveland at the RNC would consider themselves devout Christians. And as Ted Cruz was saying, God bless you and God bless the United States of America, they were booing. Actually, Professor, Ted Cruz might have done Donald J. Trump a huge favor last night.
Well, he did because also he further united those people that have been behind him and those people that certainly were not inclined to vote for Ted Cruz. And also, Cruz's performance really solidified for many people, especially those millions of people that are still undecided, where they should stand in this particular campaign. And I think that's what's going to happen next. The hearts and minds of the independents and those people that are conservative Democrats are what you'll see more and more of an interest in on the part of Trump and all of his team.
What do you think Trump's going to do tonight?
I think Trump is going to be part Trump and part Republican in the sense that he's going to still be Donald Trump and he's going to deviate from the written message that he has, that he's prepared, with perhaps some of the elements of the party platform in there. But I think he's still going to be Donald Trump, where he's going to give those 30-second sound bites where he says things that are off-key, so to speak, but they grab attention. So I think it's going to be a compelling speech, but it's going to be classic Donald Trump, ultimately.
He is Professor Emilio Iadais, the presidential historian and scholar. He wrote the book 2016, Selecting the President, the Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. It's even more an important decision than we thought, I think.
It is, and that's why I say in the book, it is the most important decision that we will ever make. I still believe that this particular campaign and this particular presidential election will set the tone for the rest of the century, Glenn. It'll really lay down the parameters of where America is for the future, whether we're a country that's tending toward isolationism, a country toward pulling ourselves back from the global economy, or a country that continues to advance and advance with common sense and doing it intelligently. So these are a lot of very important choices here, and our allies and the whole world are looking at us.
The amazing thing about last night was that Trump's running mate, the governor from Indiana, Mike Pence, was being introduced not only to the nation but to the world. And because Ted Cruz not only did what he did by not endorsing Donald Trump and also running way over time, it really put Mike Pence against with his back against the wall. Forget about exactly what he said. I thought, because I'm you know, not conservative, I'm not Republican in a lot of ways. I have conservative viewpoints on some issues, but I thought he did a very credible job.
He did. He realized what happened to him, and he was prepared for the fact that he would have less time than originally planned for, and he used this time well. The important thing for him was to show the value that he brings to the ticket, and that's what I think he did well. He is a contrast to Trump, and also he was out there to try to convince those people that are on the margin here, look, he's the Republican establishment. The establishment supports Trump. Everything will be all right. Join the party. Join the group. Let's unite the party behind Trump, and let's get moving with this election.
Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, preceded Mike Pence and followed Ted Cruz and tried to salve the wounded feelings of the delegates and explained away Cruz's non-endorsement of Trump by saying he really kind of did endorse Trump by saying to vote your conscience. But that phrase has been used by the Never Trump forces to say we have got to have a higher standard than just supporting the party nominee.
Absolutely. That threw a lot of fuel into that fire.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Gingrich is the pacifier here in many ways. He's the bridge. He's going to be the policy bridge between those who are the doubters and those who are the Trump supporters. So Gingrich, who has a great deal of respect within the party and is a policy wonk, he's the one who can articulate those things that Trump stands for in a much better way than even Trump himself. So he's going to be, I think, the spokesman in many ways that will help bring the party together. And that's why I think Trump is going to give him more and more responsibility.
You know, Newt famously does not usually read a script, and he usually just goes up with a couple of bullet points and lets it roll. But last night, I'd seen him interviewed prior to the speech he gave last night. He said it was too much of an important speech to go off the cuff, and he doesn't read a speech well. He was too fast, and Mike Pence, I felt, did a much better job than Newt Gingrich. Obviously, cuts a better jib, and the bottom line in Trump choosing Pence over Gingrich, if Donald Trump would have chosen Newt, the Family Values Party would have had six wives between the two nominees.
You're right there. Trump had to have somebody who really lived up to the standards, the very, very conservative standards, both on the family side, on the moral side, where there was no question about where they where they stand ethically and with integrity. So that's why I think Governor Pence was a good choice for him. Gingrich had some baggage that he brings with him, and that baggage would have been brought up during the campaign as well.
Yeah, he's got about 30 or 40 pounds of extra baggage, it looks like, these days. His jowls are just coming over his collar there. And Mike Pence is in good physical shape. Obviously, Trump values appearance over almost everything else. Speaking of large men, the governor of the great state of New Jersey gave an incredible indictment of Hillary Rodham Clinton and had the crowd yelling guilty, guilty about Hillary's performance as Secretary of State, as well as they were whipped up into a frenzy on their own yelling, lock her up, lock her up. How do you think that might have played around the country?
Well, I think what it does is, for those Republicans who supported Donald Trump, that it just magnifies their anger and their interest and their strength and their passion in the campaign. It may influence the independent voters. The independent voters really are the ones that are the most confused right now. The Democrats, of course, are going to set this aside. The Democrats are going to say this is just politics, and those who support Hillary Clinton will support her blindly, no matter what. So it's that independent group, which is about 38 to 40% of the electorate. This is the group that could be influenced by this, and this is why Christie gave his message. This is why the former Attorney General of the U.S. also said the same sort of thing. These are people that have a Justice Department background. So this is what they're up against. They're up against what the FBI said. So they're trying to discredit Hillary in any way that they can. And there'll be a documentary coming out also about her, and there'll be a lot of other things coming out during the campaign. Again, it's all about the independents. They're the ones that are going to affect the campaign more than any other group in American history.
He's former U.S. diplomat Emilio Iadice. He's also the author of 2016, Selecting the President, the Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. Last night, Mike Pence said that in trying to soften the image of Donald J. Trump, he said that you cannot fake good kids. How much credit should Trump get as far as being a presidential candidate for raising pretty poised and savvy and apparently smart kids?
Well, it's better than having the opposite, obviously. So this will ultimately be taken for granted in the campaign. Obama had nice kids as well. Chelsea seemed to be a nice kid as well. So ultimately, I think this will be taken for granted in the campaign. And it's very important that those kids stay nice kids during this campaign, because now the scrutiny on them will be enormous. The press will be looking as they deviate possibly from this image. So putting them in the limelight also brings up another issue here. How important are they for the campaign? And can they really affect that image of the perfect family? So they really, really need to be careful throughout this whole process as they get to the White House, because they can't make a mistake now, not one.
Well, there is a mafioso feel to it. I mean, you got a big family, totally involved in the family business, and now involved in the political campaign. And Ivanka Trump is going to introduce her father tonight as Donald Trump accepts the nomination for the GOP. Now, on Monday night, Melania comes out and gives the speech looking absolutely stunning and really did a credible job, I thought. And then it comes out that much of her speech was lifted from Michelle Obama's speech in 2008 in Denver, introducing Barack and herself to the nation. I said on the radio, Professor, that the fact that that speech was not vetted and that they would allow her to go out and give that speech showed such incompetence that that alone should disqualify Donald Trump for becoming president. What say you?
Well, it does show very, very sloppy management. And this is something to worry about.
And he's supposed to have the best of everything, the best people, and the greatest this and the greatest that.
Exactly. They also don't know how to do damage control well. But with their base doesn't care whether or not this happens. Because, you know, Trump has said so many odd things so many different times that his base just laps it up. So this was just brushed aside by his base. Of course, the media did what they could to try to explain that this is also indicative of the way people run things. If you can't run something simple as vetting a speech, making sure that there's nothing in there that's wrong or been plagiarized, well, what happens when you're really saying something very important as president? Are we going to have a president in the White House that we're going to have to apologize for, or someone will have to reinterpret what they say constantly? Because they'll say, well, the president really didn't mean to say that, even though he said it. Who is going to be the vetter? Who's going to be controlling this, and who's going to be using common sense? So I think that's an example here, and that's something to worry about. Trump should be worrying about it more than anybody else.
He doesn't seem too worried.
He doesn't. He doesn't. He expects that he's going to win, and he may. He expects that the people of the country look at these things as details, and any kind of little mistake can be explained away or just brushed aside.
He's former U.S. diplomat and presidential scholar and historian Emilio Iadice. He is also the author of 2016, Selecting the President, the Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make. You can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And, well, one thing's for sure, Professor, is that the ratings are going to be huge tonight, and it ain't going to be boring.
No, it's not going to be boring, and all the way until November, it's going to be one surprise after another, and Glenn will be talking about some of those surprises in the weeks and the months to come.
And next week during the Democratic Convention with you in Philadelphia. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Glenn, and best wishes to you and all of your listeners. Thank you. Bye-bye now. Thank you.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
And on this Throwback Thursday morning, WRJN covers the world.
Why Cruz won't endorse Mike Pence's take on Trump. I'm Evan Haining. Ted Cruz is standing his ground after being booed at the